Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 19. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if the millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, and turns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant ploughing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Moving into Luke chapter 17, we still see Jesus moving between teaching and addressing the Pharisees and the scribes, and then teaching and addressing his disciples and the apostles. Temptations will come. Part of the reality of a sinful world is that people will be caused to stumble by various things. However, to be the cause of this is a very serious matter. We must be uncompromising in dealing with anything that might be an obstacle to the weak, dealing radically with sin in order to protect not just ourselves but others from stumbling. They must not follow the example of the scribes and the Pharisees and put obstacles in the way of little ones trying to enter the kingdom. Jesus refers to stumbling blocks or offences in this chapter. Jesus has just been challenging the unfaithfulness of the religious teachers. And the importance of faithfulness in teachers is especially important because teachers can so easily cause people who are vulnerable and weak and people who can easily be led astray to sin. The consequences of this are most severe. Jesus uses an image that is later on used in Revelation chapter 18 verse 21 with reference to Babylon the Great. "Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more.'" We must be vigilant. We must pay attention to ourselves. When someone sins against us, we must deal with it in the light of brotherhood. We have to deal with our brothers. If a brother sins against us, we can't just let it fester. In families, we have to relate to each other, and the body of Christ should be the same. There is an imperative to uphold peace between us and to heal wounds. We confront each other so that we'll sort out things swiftly. And forgiveness does not rule out confrontation and rebuke. Rather, it requires a certain sort of confrontation. Some people have the false impression that forgiveness is pretending that nothing happened, just smoothing over something and not saying anything about it. But forgiveness requires telling the truth about what has been done. Implicit and often explicit in receiving forgiveness is acknowledging what you have done, the wrong that you have committed. And someone who will not admit the wrong that they have committed cannot accept forgiveness. However, forgiveness should be ready and not grudging. Nor is there a 3 strikes and you're out policy as regards our forgiveness. We should always be swift and ready to forgive. Much as God has forgiven us, so we should extend forgiveness to others. Cain may have been avenged 7-fold, but we forgive 7-fold. Jesus saying about the mustard seed and moving the mulberry tree contrasts the small seed, the smallest of all seeds, and the great tree, the mulberry tree that would be incredibly difficult to remove. Jesus has already used the mustard tree and the mustard seed as a symbol for the kingdom. Here he seems to be drawing attention once more to the smallness of the seed, but working with different aspects of the imagery. The fig mulberry tree could perhaps be seen as an image of Israel. It's to be planted in the sea, like the millstone. Once again, it might be a reference to Jerusalem being thrown into the realm of the Gentiles. If Jesus' disciples have the smallest seed of kingdom faith, with the mustard seed, they could bring about God's judgment upon Israel. That is not a reading I'll put much weight upon, but it's a possibility. In verses 7 to 10, Jesus speaks of the duty of the servant and the impossibility of gaining merit with God by our actions. This saying must be read against the background of Jesus' statement in chapter 12, verse 37. There God does the unexpected action, the thing that's unthinkable in this context, but it's not something that has been merited by the faithfulness of the servants. The point that's being made here is that our obedience is simply our duty, not something that will win us any merit or reward. What we receive is purely an expression of God's unmerited goodness. Our passage ends with a discussion of the leper being healed. The lepers were prevented from entering into the community of worshippers, and Jesus heals 10 lepers. The one Samaritan leper who returns to Jesus seems to recognize Jesus as the one to return to thank, and as the site of the presence and worship of God. His faith is commended, and he alone seems to have a faith that appreciates what God is doing in Jesus. Luke sometimes repeats elements, recalling details of the story earlier on, and maybe encouraging us to juxtapose certain things or compare or relate things. We've already seen this a few verses earlier in the description of the master and the servants, recalling chapter 12, verse 37. Here we have a good Samaritan. We also have the 1 in 10 that returns, perhaps reminiscent of the 1 in 10 coins. A foreign leper being healed might also remind us of Naaman the Syrian, who has already been referenced in chapter 4. The Samaritan leper's response is not merely to praise God, but to recognize the role that Jesus plays as an agent of God's kingdom. Not just in the Gospels, Luke pays a lot of attention to Samaritans, in ways that outside of John chapter 4 the other Gospels generally don't. Among other things, I think this leads us up to the book of Acts and the mission to the Samaritans, as the Gospel goes from Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Samaria and Israel being joined together, it's the joining together of a divided kingdom, in a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. A question to consider: can you see a connection between the teaching regarding temptations to sin and the teaching regarding forgiveness?